Well, if no one has told you, the Christian life is war. It's a battlefield. It's daily. And we hear a lot about war today, and battlefields, and soldiers, and weapons. And so tonight, I want to suggest for you a weapon that you can fight the good fight of faith with. Oh, I know you're already thinking about them. Sword of the Spirit, right? And it is true. Certainly it is. But there are many weapons in the Bible. Let me suggest for you that this is a tactical weapon. Now, don't get too alarmed. Let me give you a definition of a tactical weapon. It goes something like this. Tactical is the art and skill of using available means to reach an end. Let me say that again. The art and skill of using available means to reach an end. Tactical weapon to fight the good fight of faith. Now, there are many weapons that God has given us, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this one as being a weapon or not, but I'm hoping that by the end of this message, you're going to reach down into the sheath of the Word of God, into your mind and into your heart, and pull out this tactical weapon and get ready to do battle with the enemy. We're going to find it in Psalm 147, please. Psalm 147. Now, while you're turning there, the book of Psalms has 150 chapters. The first psalm starts with, "Blessed is the man." And if I could shorten that, it goes like this: "Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord." And then he begins, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 150. In the chapters or psalms that follow from 1 to 150, let me suggest that you will find every imaginable circumstance of life that you can identify with. They're all there. Just keep reading. You just read along and you go, "Oh, that's like me. Oh, that's what happened to me. Oh, I did that. Oh, they did that to me. Oh, I see that." Every imaginable circumstance of life. And then you get to Psalm 146, 47, 48, 49, and 50. And every one of those last psalms starts with, "Praise the Lord." I'm going to suggest for you tonight that praise is a tactical weapon that you can use to fight the good fight of faith and to do battle with the enemy of your soul. Now, let's read the first six verses of Psalm 147. Watch your Bibles, please. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the meek. He cast the wicked down to the ground." Now, if praise is, and I'm going to suggest for you that it is a weapon that you and I can use, a tactical weapon, taking available resources and using them for a desired purpose or end. And we have the resources of praise here tonight. And so we want to say to ourselves or ask this question, what is it? I was flying along one day. I'll tell you all my flying illustrations and all my school illustrations, but this is a good one, okay? I was seated in the middle seat. Guy over here, guy over here. I hate middle seats. It just kind of, and especially when they put the armrest, you know, and you have no room at all. So I'm sitting in the middle seat. I reach in my pocket. I get out my New Testament. I mean, we're on the tarmac. We haven't taken off yet, you know. And I thought, oh, well, here we go. And the guy over here says, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I go, oh, brother, here we go. I said, well, yes, I am. He said, he pulls out a big magazine, flashy, shiny paper, everything. He says, I'm a worship leader in my church. I said, okay, good. He said, like, we have a big church and I'm the worship leader. I said, good for you, good. I'm really just don't want to get into it. You know what I mean? But he says, look, and he shows me the magazine, and here we go, you know. And I go, okay, great, great. I said, look, I was just kind of wondering. I said, you a worship leader? Yeah, I'm a worship leader. We got a big church. And I said, oh, good. I said, if anybody on this plane knows what worship is, I said, I guess you'd know. I said, well, could you tell me what worship is? It's like singing, you know, like, and, you know, like, I said, you don't know, do you? He said, well, it's like praising the Lord. I said, it is. That's not bad. That's not bad. It is like praising the Lord. About that time, the flight attendant came over and said, Mr. Reese, we've upgraded you to first class. I said, praise the Lord. He said, you're not going, are you? I said, God forbid, of course I'm going. I said, God did that. He said, but I wanted to talk to you. I said, I'll meet you in Atlanta. So I get off the plane in Atlanta, and he comes up to me, and he says, listen, he said, I need you to pray for me. He said, I'm having trouble with my family. He said, matter of fact, I'm separated right now from my wife and children. I said, yeah, and I know what the problem is. He said, you do? I said, yeah. I said, you got a serious problem with pornography, don't you? He looked at me, pretty near fainted. He said, how did you know? I said, it's written all over your face. Hiding behind praise and worship. I had a long talk with him, and I don't know how the guy's doing. This was his third time of dealing with it. You know what that tells me? That tells me that on the outside, I can do a lot of things, even like praise and worship. And on the inside, I can be an entirely different person. I hope tonight that as we look at what praise is, that it'll encourage you, rejuvenate you, excite you, give you a little bounce in your step, just a little kickstart along the way. Maybe you've known it before, but maybe you haven't been practicing it, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. First of all, let's give a definition. Praise. To acknowledge worth. To lift up. To give honor or recognition. You know who's good at this? The world is good at this. They have the Oscars. They have the Academy Awards. They have the Olympics. And what are they saying? These are the best people in the world doing what they do. We acknowledge their worth, their achievements, their accomplishments. We lift them up. We praise them. We honor them for what they have done. Boy, I tell you, if there's anybody in the universe that ought to be praising the Lord Jesus tonight for what he has done, for who he is, for what he has accomplished, it ought to be the believer. It ought to be the Christian. We ought to be lifting him up, adoring him, praising him, acknowledging him. Praise. Well, we'll learn a little bit more about it as we read on. Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Okay, now notice, for it is. And now he's going to tell us three things about it. For it is good. That's one thing. It's good to sing praises. Secondly, it is pleasant to do that. That is to praise. And thirdly, it is comely. It's good. Simple. Right. Proper, acceptable. You ought to praise the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Secondly, it is pleasant. I love this. Because this word pleasant not only means joyful or reasonable or soothing, but it means, listen to me, non-irritating. Oh, I like that. So many things in life are irritating. They just rub you the wrong way. Not praise. Not when you are attributing praise and recognition and honor and lifting up the Lord Jesus. No, 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 no. That is non-irritating. Matter of fact, you enjoy doing it. And it's also comely. Now, being from Mississippi, don't hold this against me, please. Whenever I read the word comely, I thought of a girl I went to school with somehow. And comely meant homely to me. I know that's not it, but that's just what I thought of, you know? Like plain Jane, you know what I mean? Well, that's not the word comely. The word comely means outstanding, beautiful, attractive. Now watch. We haven't gone very far, but we know something about praise. Praise is acknowledging worth, lifting them up, giving them honor, recognizing them. It's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. It is soothing. It is enjoyable. It is non-irritating, and it is absolutely attractive. If you're driving down the road out here somewhere, and you come across a green meadow with a fence and a winding drive and a house just situated, just very unique on the property, and the right kind of trees and flowers around it, you just go, wow, what a neat place. It might even be so attractive, you just pull over and say, I got to get a picture of this. This is so beautiful. Let me give you another illustration. A beautiful woman walks into the room. Now, in a non-sensual, non-sexual, not immoral at all, everybody just goes, my goodness, what an attractive lady. And somehow, you are attracted because of her stature, because of her facial appearance, because of her beauty. And you go, wow, that is a beautiful woman. A handsome man, same thing. Comes in, he just stands out in the crowd. Somehow he's just a little different. And we are attracted to beauty, to beautifulness. Praise is like that. When someone is really praising, oh, not this phony baloney stuff. I'm not talking about that. I mean, when someone is really, from their heart, lifting up the Lord Jesus, maybe doing that in song, maybe doing that in testimony, maybe doing that somehow through the Word of God or something like that, you just get caught up with it. You are attracted to it. You want to get in on it because it's the right thing to do. It is non-irritating. You enjoy doing that. And the next thing you know, you can't get your eyes off of it or your ears away from it. You go, this is right. This is what we ought to be doing. And before long, there's a great crescendo of praise being drawn from the hearts of men and women that know the Lord Jesus. And they're lifting him up in the midst of the people. Wow. Something about it. Praise. Well, in the verses to follow now, Let's notice some things we can praise him for. First of all, we read in verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers together the outcast of Israel. Well, folks, unless you know your genealogy here tonight and what tribe you're from, you're most likely a Gentile, okay? But we do know this, that God is no respecter of persons, and even in the Old Testament, you could convert to Judaism. You could become a believer in the God of Israel. And especially as we see the Lord Jesus rejected as king, and now the suffering king goes to the cross and becomes the savior of the world, and Jew and Gentile, bond or free, black or white, slave, or it doesn't matter. All now come under the blood of Christ and can be members of the body of Christ. But now notice that I like it. One of the reasons that we can praise him is because he builds Jerusalem and gathers together the outcast. That's all we were, you know. Outcast. Hold your hand there, turn back with me to Psalm 107. 107. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north. And I am so glad he included the south. I am so glad. Because, you know, on August the 29th, 1970, 9 o'clock in the morning, God's long arm of salvation reached all the way from heaven right to a little town in Alabama, right in to this sinner's heart. And he gathered the outcast together that day. Notice in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. There are people wandering in the wilderness today. They don't know where they're going. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for safety. They're looking for something to fill their hungry soul. They can't find it. Look again in verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in iron and affliction. Why? Because they rebelled against the word of God. And they scorned the counsel of the Most High. Well, listen, there's some people in verse 4 and 5, they don't know anything about it. They're just wondering, they're looking for it. But let me tell you about people in verse 10 and 11. If I should so apply this, these are the kids that went to Sunday school. They were raised in Christian home. They went to a daily vacation Bible school. They heard the word of God. They knew the way to heaven, and they rebelled against the words of God, and they scorned the counsel of the Most High. Okay. Notice in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. Now listen, don't get excited about this if I call you a fool tonight, because I'm just repeating the scripture. I didn't write this. I just read it. Okay. This is what God says. Fools are afflicted because of their sin and their life. I knew that. I knew the lifestyle that I was living was killing me. I knew that. I was afflicted. I wouldn't do anything about it. I drew near to the gates of death. We got some wandering in the wilderness. We got some rebelling against the word of God. We've got some living in sin and won't do anything about it. Look in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the storm, the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Look at 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. I've been to several suicide scenes. First one there, for the police or anybody else. It's a sad thing to see that. You know why people commit suicide? They have no hope. They're at their wits' end, they give up. And somebody tells them this is the way out. That is no way out. Listen to me. If you know anybody, if you've ever been suicidal, there is hope with God. This is not the way to do it. But there are people wandering. There are people rebelling. There are people sinning, won't do anything about it. And there are people that have given up and they are at their wits' end. But he gathers the outcasts of Israel. And every one of these, and I don't have time to elaborate on this tonight, and every need, from those wandering to those rebelling to those sinning to those at their wits' end, and to every need, let me say, God met them where they were. And the end result is this. Look at verse 8, as God showed the right way to those wandering. Verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. What about those rebelled and when God met them and they trusted the Lord? Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What about those that were killing themselves because they wouldn't deal with their sin and his word came in and saved them? Look in verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. How about those at their wits' end? When God moved and they responded, look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Listen, we praise him tonight because he finds us where we are. And by grace and through faith and the convicting work of the Spirit of God, he draws us with the cords of love. Every one of you here tonight who've trusted Christ as your Savior, this ought to be your testimony. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 3. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Not only does he find us where we are, we praise him for that. We praise him because he touches our emotions and our wounded spirits. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 61. Let me read it for you. You don't need to turn there. Listen to this testimony. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Why can I praise him tonight? Because he knows my heart. He knows my troubles. He knows my broken spirit. He knows my shattered heart. And he looks in and he says, I can help you. A bruised reed will I not break. Smoking flax will I not quench. I will move in. I will nurse it back to health. I will fan it back to a flame. I am your God. I will reach into that situation and pull you out and give you hope and comfort and care. A lot of people got wounded spirits tonight, folks. You can praise him that he can help you. Minister to you tonight. Look at verse 4. He knows all the stars and he calls them by name. Last year I read that at the University of Australia, there are people that watch stars. I forget what you call those people, but they spend all their time looking at stars. And they came to a great understanding of how many stars there are. They have proclaimed, you ready for this? This is how many stars they say. That is, heavenly bodies, I don't know whether they're planets or stars or comets, I don't know all about that. But just that stuff out there that you can see on a clear night. Okay? You ready? 10 times more heavenly bodies than grains of sand on the earth. 10 times more heavenly bodies. How many grains of sand could I hold in my hand, in a bucket, in a wheelbarrow, in a dump truck, on a beach? North America, South America, Europe, Asia, deserts. Wow. 10 times. These are people that look at stars all the time. You know what I mean? They're trying to count them. We say, what's that all about, Joe? Well, look, he knows them, and he calls them by name. You say, why can I praise him for that? I'll tell you why. Jesus didn't die for stars, folks. He died for you. And if he keeps that accurate account of stars, and he knows them by name. Oh, listen, there's something about a name. Like many of you, I know your face, but I forget your name, and I go, hi, brother, how you doing? You know, I mean, you do the same thing. Come on, don't give me a hard time. But if you're in a crowd and you haven't seen somebody in a long time, and they come over and they say, hey, Joe, how you doing? I go, wow, he remembered my name. He knows you. It would be something if one day the Lord said, okay, all you guys on earth, come on up here, boys and girls and men and women, come on into heaven. You know, it's a great place. I'm so glad that you can join me for all of eternity. Thank you for coming. But he's going to call you by name. He's going to say Joe and Dave and Frank and Susie and April, and been waiting on you. Come on. Just in case you think he doesn't know you, you can praise him tonight. Verse 5, he is great and powerful, infinite and understanding. I wish we had more time. I'd love to do something about those clocks back there, but I know, and I'm wasting time talking about it, I know. But anyhow, listen, I believe with all of my heart that he knows everything about me. Now, that's incredible. We could go many places and prove that. But let me tell you what's more incredible than that. He still loves me. He knows every word before I say it, every thought before I think it, every deed before I do it, every step before I make it, behind and before. He knows everything about me, and he still sent his son. He still loves me because of his great power and his infinite understanding. Look at verse 6. Why can I praise him? He lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Why can I praise him for that? Because he always does what's right. He always does what's right. You can count on him. He will make it right. He will do it good. He works through the circumstances of life. And we think the wicked get away with it. Folks, they don't get away with it. There's a day coming. Make sure you're on the right side when that judgment falls, because it will fall. And he lifts up the meek, but he casts the wicked down. He knows how to handle the situation. Now turn with me quickly, Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Just one verse in Psalm 22. Verse number 3. Psalm 22, verse number 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that when you praise God, when you lift up the Lord, when you attribute worth to Him, when you give Him honor and recognition and His worth, He says, I'm there. I inhabit the praises of my people. I am there. Let's just think for a moment. There's a little gathering of God's people or a big gathering of God's people, and there is praise coming from the hearts of those people. God says, I am in on that. Could I put it this way? Praise beckons the presence of God. He inhabits the praises of His people. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Point number two, praise beckons the presence of God. Let me suggest that praise beckons the power of God. Jehoshaphat gets a message one day. A messenger says, Jehoshaphat, you're in a heap of trouble. We got three armies and they're riding right down on us. We don't have a prayer. He said, okay. Stop music, stop school, stop work, stop, everybody stop, let's everybody get together and let's ask help of the Lord. Wow. And when he got everybody together, look in verse 12, he gets everybody together and he says, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I'd vote for a man like that. Let me tell you, we got leaders and kings and prime ministers and presidents who say, I can fix this. They can't fix one thing. This king said, I can't fix it. We don't have a prayer. We have no might against this great company that comes against us, but our eyes are on God. And so they all turned to the Lord. And the Lord raised up a prophet, and the prophet said, now, here's what's going to happen, Jehoshaphat. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. You're just going to have to believe God. You go stand still, see what God is doing. So he gives him direction, told him what to do. Look at verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Look in verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. This is the position of worship. They fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Look at verse 19. The Levites, children of the Kohathites, children of the Korahites, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They rose up early in the morning and they went forth into the wilderness. What they did was they went exactly where the prophet told them to go. Look at the end of that verse, 20. Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. 21. When he had consulted with the people, that is Jehoshaphat, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, God moved. God moved. When? When they began to sing and to praise. Why? Because when they praised the Lord, he said, I'm in on it. I inhabit the praises of my people. And then when they took God at his word and they believed him and they stepped out. Listen, Jehoshaphat says here, I'll take the tenors, the altos, the sopranos, and the basses. Come right over here, please. I'd like for you to lead the army in battle. The choir. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, and they're going to sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. God says, when I heard that, I moved. Praise not only beckons the presence of God, it beckons the power of God. I wish I had time to tell you the whole thing was of God. They didn't even, all they had to do is go get the spoil. God had moved. You might think that Elvis Presley got jailhouse rock on the roll, but it was really Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. And at midnight, when they could have been complaining, Paul should say, by now I should be the president of the, you know, Jerusalem awning and tent company by now, and look where I get by serving God. But he didn't do that. The Bible is very clear that they prayed, they praised and they sang at midnight, and God says, oh, I heard that, and I'll be there because they're beckoning my presence. And not only that, I will move because they're beckoning my power. And God, in a miraculous way, delivered those men that night when they sang praises to God. Well, not only does praise beckon the presence of God, and not only does praise beckon the power of God, but notice Psalm 61, please. Psalm 61. Just in case you thought this was not a tactical weapon, let me show you that it is. Psalm 61, last verse, number 8. Psalm 61 and verse number 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Why? That I may daily perform my vows. Did you ever think that when you get up in the morning, that one of the first things you ought to do is recognize the Lord for who He is, attribute to Him His worth, lift Him up in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, and say, Lord, there is none like You. You're the most beautiful person in the universe. Thank You for drawing me with the cords of love. I'm so happy to be in Your family. I don't know anybody like You. I am so looking forward to serving You today. I praise You. I honor You. I adore You. I count it a privilege to be on Your team. I can't think of anybody I'd rather spend the day with than You. He says, I'm in on that. I'm in on that. Not only that, I'm going to help this man perform his vows today, his duties today. Praise is a weapon that you and I can use. It's proper, it's good, it's pleasant, it's beautiful, it's attractive, it works. It beckons His presence, it beckons His power, and praise should be a daily practice for us. Now, as a preacher, I need to be telling you all this stuff because that's what you need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing, okay? It's the right thing to do. But I got one more verse. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Because you see, there's another day coming. It's going to be an awesome day. Sometimes people say to me, Joe, you looking forward to the Lord's return? And I go, yeah, uh-huh. You're like, I'm trying, you know. Not that I don't want to see Him. I'm just afraid I'm going to be ashamed, I think. Well, let me comfort your heart tonight. Look at this. Verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Look at verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall everyone have praise of God. I don't know how all this works out, folks. I hear some preachers, they got that down pat. They just say it's going to be like this and like this and like this. And you go, wow, I wish I had it down pat like that. I tell you what I get out of this verse. That as much as all of us who know the Lord are going to give an account in that day, and we are, things done in our body, whether it be good or bad or evil, and we're going to give an account for that. Not for our sins, but for our service. Sins are cared for at Calvary. There's something else going to happen that day, and I want to encourage you tonight. God's going to praise you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to give you honor. He's going to recognize what you have done for Him. I think it's going to be probably real backwards to what most of us think. Like maybe you got in your mind, I'm going to be a missionary and I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to go visit the sick, or I'm going to be a great preacher, or I'm going to teach Sunday school, I'm going to work with kids, and I'm going to do it, and so that when I give an account, God's going to say all these wonderful things that you've done. I hope so. I got a suspicion that the things that perhaps we're going to get credit for, the things that we probably forgot, just the right thing. Oh, it wasn't big. Nobody saw it. It was just in my heart to do it. I didn't have any ulterior. I wasn't really looking for a reward. I just thought, my goodness, somebody's got to help her or him or that little child. Just a cup of water is all it was. God says, I saw that. I saw that. And one day in the presence of the angelic creatures, you're going to say, you see that trophy of grace right there? You see that humble Christian? He's ashamed to even lift his head up. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he did for me. Nobody else saw that. You see, he lived on the backside of nowhere, and his name was never in a journal or a paper, never on a prayer list. Nobody ever knew that he lived, but I saw him. And I want to tell you that I am willing to lift him up now and to attribute worth to him. You see, when he trusted my son, he was nothing, but he is a trophy of grace. In that day, everybody sitting here, think about it. You're going to have praise of God. Now, if that doesn't reciprocate from your heart back to Him, I don't know what you need tonight. Because our hearts ought to be full. Think that God would think of me out of 7 billion people, that in that day He's going to take time and I'm going to have praise of God. God's going to say, look what He did and look how He did it, and He trusted me and we moved together and we worked together, and there's a great servant right here. That's you. That's you tonight. Those who have been faithful, God will acknowledge that you've been a good steward for Him. Now, we can't quit. We can't just quit. Where's our pianist? Could you come and could we sing together number 19? Number 19. And we got to stand. And just in case the person next to you is not quite as excited as you are, you make it attractive for them, okay? When you're singing this. Well, let's stand together and sing all three verses of praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We're going to bounce right along.